Some may be better than others. So I believe that there are some approaches which are better than others. And also bear in mind here that the ones he called were everyday people. These were not the high educated Pharisees or Sadducees of the day. They weren't the Essenes in their monastic type lifestyle or whatever it was they were doing there. But these were tradies, to put it in very common language. These were everyday people. And as we heard last night, what Brother Ingwald was saying, is that about how God uses you and how God uses ordinary people. So be encouraged today. You might feel like there is a big gap between you and being a soul winner. Or you think, how could I ever be someone who could lead someone to Christ? Or how could I ever get to that situation to where I could talk to someone and actually have them, you know, let me share the gospel with you? Be encouraged. God can help you to that end. Okay, and God uses individuals and God uses unlikely people sometimes. C.H. Spurgeon was under the sound voice of a country preacher. And we've got a DVD at home, and in there he speaks about that, or it's narrated there. I'll take it that his words, and he said that he was just there in that such misery of soul, and this dark, as it were, depression in his lost state. And he said, how God uses the most unlikely people. He said, the voice of this country preacher, he said, he was speaking to me. And it was there at that time when he challenged him and that he trusted Christ as his Saviour. And how many people now know of C.H. Spurgeon, great preacher, and all those who came to know Christ as their Saviour. So be encouraged that God can use you. And don't be discouraged in thinking, I can never ever be a soul winner. God can help you. And then that'll be in the track that I'm going to take you through today. I learned to use this stop track when I was at SBBC. Just by way of personal testimony, I started doing the soul winning course at SBBC. It was actually scheduled for me to do, I think, in the next semester. But Pastor said, you've got to do the soul winning course. So I enrolled in the soul winning course, did an extra course, even though I was going to be doing it later in the year. So anyway, I did it earlier rather than later, myself in a heavier load to begin with. But when I was doing this course, he spoke with us about multiple things, not only how to use the stop track, but how to deal with Muslims, and he has the different sheets, Pastor Keith Piper, so you can try to deal with Muslims apologetically, show them errors in the Quran and so forth. And I just remember one evening, Tuesday evening, the course was on, going up to my room and feeling under this burden, and it was exciting what I was learning. And just kneeling by my bed and just calling out to the Lord and asking him to help me to win souls. And I didn't know the Lord's help at that time. We used to go down to Parramatta and you know, try to talk to people and hand out tracts to people and witness to people. And God seemed to give me such a zeal when I was down there in the street and such a boldness, which I perhaps haven't known before in the area of soul winning. So God can help you, and you may be surprised at just the opportunities you can have actually to talk with someone. How many people actually will let you share the gospel with them? Who will actually give you the time to go through and listen to a gospel presentation? So you might be quite surprised at that. Also, just by throwing this in here, don't be afraid to invite people to church. When I used to be at Pastor Piper's church, we used to invite people on a Sunday afternoon, and people would come, like literally from that invitation, to the evening service. They would come right off the street and come to church. So don't be afraid to invite people to church. Why not ask? They might say no, but why not ask? They might come. You don't know. So we need to get down to the stop tracks. So I can just have Brother Seth, please, and I'll have Brother John too, please, if that's okay, just to help with handing these tracks out. Everyone have a pen? Anyone not have a pen? Do you want to just give half a set, bro? Okay, I also have another piece of literature here, again by Brother Piper. It's called Establishing the Faith. And if you'd like to do review after this lesson, lesson 44, how to lead a person across using stop tracks. So you can go through a lesson in here again, on how to use a soft drink if you need to refresh yourself. That's a very good resource, and that's what you can use for a follow-up Bible study with someone who you've led to Christ. You can, once going through the gospel, you can then give them an establishing the faith and try and tee up a Bible study with them as well. Okay, has everyone got a stop tract? Everyone's got one? Good. Okay, could we also, you men also mind handing out the establishing the faith, please, for everybody? Okay, we'll get those handed out now. While those are getting handed out. Also, we'll say, Brother Ring was talking last night about the matter of going and how we need to go. Just a word of encouragement, don't wait till you have a feeling like you want to go. Pastor Jack Hiles, a well-known soul, my dad's been in a meeting with Pastor Jack Hiles, and he's stood up the front in a huge auditorium full of people and said, hands up, all those who I've led to Christ personally, and hands went up all over the auditorium. Led so many people to the Lord. And he said, every time I go soul winning, I never want to go. Okay, our flesh hates it. Okay, the devil's against it. It's hard to go soul winning, but we need to go by faith, not by feeling. Okay, if you're waiting for a feeling, you're probably going to be waiting a very long time, if not the rest of your life. Okay, so we need to go by faith. And you'll find that when you are going at times, or when God gives an opportunity, that is what will encourage you at that time. Okay, so first of all, we're going to start with a tract about the approach. I haven't got a roving mic, but anyway, can everyone hear me okay? Just my voice? Okay. So the approach, we're giving out a tract. So sometimes, probably by far the best with a tract is, or with this, is if you can actually make a time to meet with the person and speak to them about either your home or their home or somewhere where it's without distraction. You can go through a lengthy discussion, over a good period of time and everything like that without having to rush, so that's good, and without some distractions. But let's say we're in open air and we're handing out tracts. So you can do this on the street, you can go through this presentation with someone on the street. So how do I start with giving a tract to someone? Hello? Have you thought about heaven? This might help you with heaven? Or do you want this? You probably don't want this, do you? No, I don't think so. If you ask the question, say, can I give you this? No. Okay, so you're sort of in a corner. What do I do now? Because they said, no, I can't give it to them. So what Pastor Paul teaches, which is quite good, is that you say, this is for you. And they take it. Okay, so that way you don't give them the option of refusing. This is for you. Now, also as well is, I don't know if this is sounds like that, but we need to believe in what we are sharing. We need to believe that the gospel is the power of God and salvation. You've seen that miracle. I saw those two miracles we saw the other Sunday with Mr. and Mrs. Stone being saved. That's miraculous to me. Okay? That's the power of the gospel. Don't be fooled by people's fronts. Even laughter, the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaven. People are lost. People are dead. Got a whole conglomerate, probably of different ideas and philosophies in life. Don't believe the facades. We have the answer in the gospel. Okay. So that might have been about it being a silly way, but believe in what you are sharing with people. Okay. If you don't believe it, they're probably not going to believe it either. So if you're sort of, do you want this sort of thing, then probably no. Okay. So now, that's, at least you're trying, that's better than not doing it at all. Okay, smile, okay? Smiling is disarming, you need to smile at people, okay? Look at him, he's disarmed already. Okay, and you know, if you believe it, okay, then they're going to be more likely to take it, okay? Whereas if you're going to be sort of, then they sort of, they feel that, they sense that, and they for some reason register the same. Okay, but you know, believe what you're sharing. Small, so you know, they say, this is for you, or you know, or say a card, you go to the checkout, or whatever, this is for you, you know, and take opportunities that God gives you, okay? So, what do we want? Everybody stand up, please. Okay, and try, smile, and present the tract to the person next to you. Okay.
good. So this is for you. Okay, and then next thing you need, now. But then where do I go from here? Okay, thanks. See how they go. So now how do I share the gospel? So you need to then ask them a question. Now the different questions you can ask to people, but this is a good one. And be polite. People appreciate if you're polite and you're friendly, not rude or anything like that. How do you think about putting pilgrims progress or evangelists? Evangelists pointed the way. Okay? He wasn't the judgment of God or the wrath of God, even though he preached that. He pointed the way. That's what we are. We are friends to the sinner. We've been saved, and okay? We're the friends who point them to Christ. He said that evangelism is one beggar telling another beggar where he was trying to reach. Okay? So, then ask them a question. Say, one question for you, please, if I may. If you were to die tonight or sometime, and I hope you don't, because I hope you don't, would you be 100% sure if you would go to heaven? Alright? Yeah, you can't be 100% sure if it's going to suck. Okay, and they say, well, I hope so. Would you like to be sure? Okay, now a lot of people, would say, yeah, that's good. Yes, I would. And from there, you say, okay, well, this piece of paper shows you from the Bible how you feel 100% sure that God's life is going to go clear. Now, don't misunderstand me, I'm not saying that you just simply push heaven and not deal with sin. We deal with sin as we go through. But you want to be able to start a conversation with someone. Okay? And to be able to get down to the gospel. Even with people who say, you know, you might have to deal with other religions or people's skepticism or whatever. But eventually you want to get down to the gospel. Okay? And for them to actually hear the gospel. Can you imagine how many people would be encouraged if they could share the gospel with someone, even if they just say, but yet give them a flip and say, we feel great about that. Yeah, you could show some of the papers and say, I believe you can do it here. So this paper shows from the Bible how you can be sure of going to heaven. Okay, so now, could even have seen that two men, one for you to point and one for them to draw. Okay, so I'm going to take you through as if I was taking a lost person to read and you follow along with me, and so you will learn how to do it. Okay, so this is for you to take it, okay? You ask a question. One question for you, please, if I may. If you die tonight sometime, hope you don't, would you be 100% sure you go to heaven? Or no. Okay, would you like to be sure? Yes. Okay, well, this paper, piece of paper shows you from the Bible how you can be 100% sure if you die tonight you would go to heaven. Stop. Stop. Are you after something from God? Here it is. Don't ignore it. Think where will I spend eternity? The gift of God and eternal life, have you received it? Okay, and if you open up to the first page, you'll see we have several points here to show us how we can be sure of going to heaven. Now, at the end of the life, you ask me, say, would you be so kind as to read the first heading and the verse underneath? Okay, so ask me nicely to do that. Okay, you can move on. And one of the issues can be resolving is if you are sharing the gospel with someone and you're saying to them, okay, so, you know, everyone has sinned, yes. Okay, you go through it, yes, yes, yes. This way is down, yes. This way is up, yes. Left is right, yes. Right is left, yes. And they're not actually understanding what you're saying, and they just agree with you. Okay, and they're not actually interacting. So you want to get them interacting with you and thinking about what they're doing, yeah, and understanding the presentation that you're giving to them. So, would you be so kind as to read the first heading and the verse underneath? Okay, do you all like to read together?
All that things and the shores of glory of God.
Okay, very good. And something you can do with your pen is just put a bracket on one side there. Okay, just so they can see. So you follow along your pen, do a bracket just down one side so they can see where you are pointing them to. Okay? So you do that bracket, you ask them to read that. Okay, and then ask them the next one to say, what do you think is the main idea in this verse? Now look at it, just say, all have sinned. Okay, and then you say, okay, very good, we circle sin, please. Circle the word sin. Okay, and you ask them to say, what do you think sin is? Some of them, what did they see?
Drinking.
Sorry? Hi?
Pressing.
Pressing them up? Yeah.
Breaking the law?
Yeah. Nice. Okay, then one says, yeah, doing bad things. Then one says something like that. Then one has no idea what sin is about. Okay, yeah, so we see here three pictures. There is a way which seems right for men that end their life, other ways of death. You see the road of self. Sin is putting self first. Sin is me going my way rather than God's way. Next picture there. Sin separates us from God. Sin is separation from God. You can also say, have you ever had a fight or an argument with someone?
Oh, yeah.
So who hasn't? You say, well, when you had that fight or the argument, did you feel like there was something between you and that person? You know, when you saw that person, you felt there was something? Yeah. Okay, so our sin comes between us and God. We can't have fellowship with God because of our sin, because we've broken His laws. Okay, also the third picture here. All have come short of the glory of God, okay? So no matter how good we are, we always fall short of God's standard of perfection, no matter what we do. We never ever reach God's standard of perfection. Okay, so now we go to the law, okay, to deal with the matter of sin. Okay, so we have God's law here, which is the Ten Commandments. Would you be so kind as to read number one, please? You want to read that for me? Yeah, that's right. So we don't have any other gods before God. Have you ever had something in your life that you sort of been more important to you than God? You know, some people have, you know, you might ask them, you know, have you ever worshipped another God? I have. You said, no, I haven't. Okay, have you ever had something in your life you see as being more important than God? Your job, your position, or something that you love more? Okay, everyone has. Yes, okay. Would you be so kind as to circle point one, please? Okay, point number two. That one's up. Okay, some people make idols to bow down and worship. Okay, have you ever done that? You ever worshipped an idol? Okay, that was, oh. Okay. Point three, please. Okay, that's called blasphemy. You probably heard people say that. They say, I want, they say God's name. Or they say Jesus Christ, and you're in a place called blasphemy, which is very serious. Have you ever done that before? Oh, yes, I have. Okay, would you circle point three, please?
Okay. Okay, point number four. Okay, so in the Old Testament, God gave the Sabbath day to the Jews. Okay, New Testament, we found Christians meet on a Sunday, and you always give one day in seven to God without fail.
No,
I haven't. Okay, who has? Okay, so please circle number four. Okay, number four. Okay, you always honour your parents without fail. Oh, yeah, I'll be good. Yeah, no, definitely not that one. Okay, so they might say something like that. They see themselves as not really doing that, okay? Were you ever disobedient before? Okay, you ever disobedient to your parents? You ever disobedient before? Oh, yeah, you know, when I was a kid, you know? Okay, so sometimes you have to help them when they'll say the wrong answer to show them that this is. Now, when you're going through this, feel free to include yourself as well. Okay? I haven't always honored my parents. I haven't always been reverent about God's name, you know? So include yourself as well, that we are all sinners in need of salvation. Okay, number six, please.
No.
Have you ever killed anyone? Okay, they're like, no, I haven't done that. So, okay, well, that's good, okay? But when Jesus came to earth, he took the law to a high standard. Okay, he saw that their looks will lust our physical and job in the his heart, and also hatred in the heart, to be certain we have a murderous hot hatred in our hearts. And they've never hated someone before. Okay, we put the cons to circle point six, please. And then point seven, don't commit adultery. Okay, And you say, now, there's, you can explain to them, so there's, you know, you might ask them that, but okay, if you've got a husband and wife there, you might not ask them that question. Okay, but you might ask them, say, you know, you might give that point and say, you know, the word Jesus, when Jesus came to earth, he took the law to high sense, and he saw the man looked for lust after he's rebuilt into his heart. Nothing. You know, have you ever done that before? Okay? Because we're set on as the circle, point seven. Okay, what's the next one? Point eight there.
Steal.
Steal. Have you ever taken something that doesn't belong to you? Oh, no, I don't steal things. Okay, what about when you were a child? You ever take something that belongs to you? You know, like myself, I took money out of my dad's drawer. You know, have you ever done something like that? Oh, yeah, I took something from the shop or whatever. So someone gets to help them, okay? Could you please circle number eight then? Okay, number nine. And bear false witness. Okay, so that's speaking in a legal sense, in a court, not to give false evidence. Okay, but the great principle there is that a lie, have you ever told a lie before? Okay, now believe me, there are people who will tell you they haven't told a lie. There are people who tell you they have never, ever since. It's such a privilege to be around those people. Perfect, finally. Okay, so we walk on, and they say to the whole, you know, probably white or white lie, you know, I said it takes 5 minutes, it takes an hour, something like that. Okay, but a lie is a lie, isn't it? Okay, it's not the word of truth, it's not. Okay. Right, but God is a God of truth. You see in the scriptures, God cannot lie. Okay, so, and it even says in Revelation, all lies should have their part in making sure that before I move. So even one lie is a serious thing. And just remember, God may never think this context, okay, sometimes things are funny and laugh at, but when you actually deal with a person, that's serious. Okay, you live here with someone's soul. So I don't mind us having a bit of fun and solving class as well. Point 10, please.
Coveting
is wanting something you should not rightfully have. Okay, so for example, for a man or woman to be jealous over their spouse, okay, that's okay. Okay, but then to want someone else's spouse, that's coveting. Okay, or to want someone else's. Have you ever coveted? Do you want someone's job or someone's position or someone's looks or someone's money? Things like that? Oh, yeah, probably. Yeah. Okay, please circle number 10. So sin is disobeying God's law. God's law, the Bible, or the Bible. So then over to the left-hand side. Now, it says, we are all gross sinners compared to the holiness of God. Now ask them a question. Say, do you believe that you and me and all of us, do you believe that we are all big sinners before God? Okay, if they say yes, okay, please put a tick next to that. Okay? And you can ask them, do you want the God of the Bible to be your God? Okay? And you can say yes, okay? Please put a tick next to question one. Okay, do you want to turn from God, from sin, and come to God? Okay, no repentance. Okay, and say yes, okay, tick. Okay. Would you be so kind as to read the second heading and the verse underneath, please?
Punishment of sin is death, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Sorry, the second verse too, sorry.
And hell to cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death.
And this is all, you just do that bracket there as well, just to show them where they're reading, so they know where they're going. Can you put the bracket there for them? You obviously have given them a pen to be able to circle and to tick. Okay. So, what do you think is the main idea? So, what is the thing? The main idea in this verse? Again, asking if you ask that question again. You know, that salvation's a gift or whatever. Okay, yeah, sure. Okay, so, in this verse, what it says, well, what is the penalty for sin? What is the punishment or the penalty for sin? Death. That's right, death is good. Okay, now please circle death. Okay, and what is the Cedric. So yeah, that's what just going recently, I'm not sure what it's exactly on. Anyway. So the gift of God, eternal life through his okay, so and then I mean we pass our question, what is salvation then? Yeah, eternal life. And what is it? It's a gift. It has a certain gift. Okay, and what is the gift? Okay, please circle eternal life. And it's through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's how we're saved. So the penalty of sin, now sitting down the next verse there, says, so the death penalty comes to make a fire. This is the second death. So there's a first death, how will we die physically? Okay, our bodies are put together. And there's a second death, which is far greater and far worse. Where death and hell going to wind up? Where they're going to put? Into the lake of fire. We circle the lake of fire. Now, draw an arrow from the wall down to the lake of fire. Now, explain to them. Now, put an S and then put an X next to that arrow. And you explain to them how that is where the devil and his demons are going. Okay, it's hell. But God gives us a chance. God gives us a choice of whether or not whether we want to receive his gift of salvation. Okay, so put another arrow down. Like a boy, and God next to us. Okay, so the bad news is that because we've all sinned, God's law says that we should go to hell for all eternity to suffer for our sin. Now, is there a way out? Yes, there is. Okay, God is offering us the free gift of eternal life we can get through Jesus Christ, not through good works or any religion. Okay, would you be so kind as to read the next verse there? Put a bracket there. Okay, in this verse here, how are we not saved?
Of works.
Okay, so please circle, not of works. But how do we works? Good deeds. Okay, so things like going to church, baptism, giving tithes, things like that won't save us. Okay, so it's not of works. It's good to be good, okay, but good works never cancel out bad works. Okay, good works never ever save us. Okay, you could use an illustration. Let's say you're driving down the road and it's a 60 zone and you're going 100 kilometres an hour and the police pull you over and they say, you're all just going 100 k's and 60 kilometres an hour and you go, oh yeah, but, you know, pretty well every other time in my life when I drove along this road, I was going 55, 58. Whatever, okay, things are fine. Okay, it doesn't matter about what you did in the past, you've broken the law now. Okay, you don't have to be punished for that. So regardless of how many times we've been good, okay, we've sinned, and that brings about punishment. Okay, therefore the law of God says we should go to the lake of fire, but the love of God wants us to go to heaven. Okay, you imagine if you were a judge, okay, you're in a courtroom and your son walks into the courtroom having committed a big crime. And you say, son, what are you doing here? He said, oh, Dad, I've robbed the bank. Now, can you imagine how you would feel as a father going, son, I have to send you to jail, I don't want to, but I have to. Okay, so he's got the law, but he also has his love. Okay, now we know that before we're saved, we're not children of God, same when we are saved. But we see here that there is God's law and God's love here. Okay, let's have cross the gospel of illustration. It's not a damn for a tears or sphere, not two points. Okay, we can have you three sitting there, please.
Okay.
Now, for the first illustration, okay, let's put Dan's in the position of the sinner, and he's too saved. Alright, you recognize the Lord. Praise God, that's good. Okay, John is going to represent the law of God, and Matthias is going to represent the love of God. Now, put your hands out there. Okay, now, each of you guys, grab a hold of his arm. Okay, so like this. So like this. Like that. And then you go, I don't like that, okay? What's on? I want to do like that. Okay, so that arm. Like this. Like that. Okay, and then it's you with your right hand. Okay, the Lord of God, love of God, Paul. Paul! Go! Okay, alright. Now, okay, then you can sit down. So we have the law of God, which says the sinner should go to hell. We have the love of God, which says that when he wants people to get saved, okay, people go to heaven. So how do we deal with this then? How do we do this? Well, you know how God did that? Is God became a man to come and to save us. Okay, God had a rescue plan to save us. Please go to point three there. You need to be so kind as to read the third heading and the verse underneath.
Jesus was before our nation, but God commended his love toward us. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Okay, what do you think is the main idea in that verse there? Okay, God means love. So look, how do you do that? What happens? Christ died for us. Okay, please circle. Christ died for us. Okay, so Jesus is the Saviour of all people. He is now available to be your Saviour. Okay, we can show them. Okay, so Christ died on the cross. Show them now the diagram. Okay, put a little, you can perhaps put a couple little marks here where you are now. See this little section in here? We're pretty close together. Okay, so Jesus Christ took the penalty of your sin and of my sin and all people in the past. All people now in the present, and all people in the future, Christ took the penalty of our sin on the cross in around 6 hours. Okay, so notice God took, and the other tracks, the older track has Isaiah 53:6, this one doesn't, unfortunately. Isaiah 53:6, where it speaks about our sins would be laid on him. Okay, so that's not in this track. And so God took all our past, present, and future sins off us and placed them on Christ. Jesus took the full punishment for all our sins on the cross. Instead of us being punished and in the lake of fire, Christ is now the Saviour, the sin bearer of all people. Okay, so God has taken out the punishment upon Jesus Christ for your sin and for my sin and for the sins of the whole world. That's why he came to die. Okay? So, it says the door into heaven is now open for all to enter. Okay? But next question, how may we enter heaven? How can I be forgiven? How can I be saved? How can I have eternal life? Okay? Would you be so kind as to read point four? Again, the bracket. So, usually, at the first dot point, it has a bracket 100% God and 100% man, okay? And Jesus Christ, is both 100% man and 100% God at the same time. Okay, so this is what we need to believe that Jesus Christ is God the Son, 100% God, 100% man. You ask, do you believe that? Do you believe that?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Please put a tick next to the first point there. Okay. Do you believe that Jesus Christ died in our place, died in your place?
Yes.
Yes, okay, so let's put a tick next to that. Okay? Do you believe that Jesus also rose again bodily from the dead?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, now make sure that someone, if you're dealing with someone, make sure that they believe in the literal resurrection of Christ, okay? Because of the high criticism, okay, they believe in a mystical, spiritualized resurrection in the heart, but they believe that the bones of Jesus Christ are still, the remains of Christ are somewhere over in the Middle East, the Palestine. Okay, so we need to just, it's literal, physical, bodily resurrection, okay? So don't, you come on to and say, yes, I believe in the resurrection of Christ, and there's something far, far different, okay? Do you believe Jesus rose again bodily from the dead? Yes, okay? Let's continue to get to that. Also, if people don't believe that Jesus is 100% God, 100% man, you can go to the establishing of faith, chapters 41 to 42, and you can deal with that matter there in the person of Christ, okay? If you have a hitch on this point, okay? And Pastor Bob, he says to the person, okay, you don't have the social but he says, okay, you're now 90% into heaven. That's what he was saying. Okay, and then, us, you need to receive Jesus, what's the last point they say? Okay, you receive Jesus Christ, and they say, those who are given free forgiveness and eternal life, how do I get those who, okay, so if you do that, you receive free forgiveness and eternal life right now at this point. This means that you now accept Christ's blood sacrifice on the cross as the full payment for your sins, trusting Christ alone to save you, not your good works or any religion. Okay, and this picture here illustrates what happens. Okay? When we receive Christ as our Saviour by faith, we receive pardon. We receive God's pardon, as you can see in that picture. God forgives us. Okay? It's taken the penalty out of the cross, or we receive Christ as our Saviour. We receive pardon. Secondly, our sin and our guilt will roll away. Okay? God will take that away from us. And thirdly, we are spared from God's wrath. Okay, because God, rather than taking the drop out on us, is taking the drop out on Christ, and we will receive Christ as our Saviour. We can be sure of this because of these promises God has given us to claim the Bible. Okay, last page. Okay, would you be so kind as to read the first verse there, please? Okay, what does it mean to receive Christ? Okay, Pastor Bob used an illustration of a real estate agent you employ, okay, and you use them as your real estate agent to say to sell your property. And by saying reverently, we'll get saved using Jesus Christ as our saving agent. Okay? Christ, we receive him as our saviour for the forgiveness of our sins. Okay, you can even ask and say, well, do you think it would be a nice thing to be a son of God or a child of God? Okay, help them with making the right decision. Okay, yeah, that would be good. Okay, next verse, please.
For the Israelites shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved.
Okay, so how do we, in this verse, what do we have to do to be saved?
Call.
Call is wrong. Please circle call. Oh, sorry, can I ask you for this? Sorry, back to the verse. Okay, sorry. But as many have seen, to them go to power to be, become sons of God. Okay, what do we have to do in this verse? Okay, please circle receive them. And if we do that, what will we become? Sons of God. That's right. Sorry, just a bit there. Okay, those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Okay, so what do we have to do to be saved? Call. Okay, and then if we call on Christ, what do we then become? Please do, we shall be saved. Okay, now, if we come to Jesus, okay, genuinely wanting to be saved and repentance from our sins, will Jesus say yes or no? He'll say yes. Okay, some people might actually struggle with the fact that I don't think God will accept me. I don't think Jesus will want me. Okay, but Jesus said he's not willing that any should perish, but the whole should come to repentance. Okay, Jesus came to be the Savior of the whole world, and Jesus served everybody. And so God asked that, what will we become saved? Shall we say? Next verse, please. Rabbi?
He that has the Son has life, and he that has not the Son of God hath not life, and he that has not that he hath eternal life.
Okay. To be able to have life, what do we have to have?
Son.
Okay, I'll circle, so I can give this point. We're going to put circle Son and life. Okay, and then we can know it, circle no. Okay, so we have here the promises, these promises of salvation, we have them there in those verses. Okay, John 4:24, verily, our son, you hear that, heareth my word, and believe in him that sent me, that everlasting life, that shall not come into condemnation, is passed from death unto life. Okay, we see here in the picture there are two ways. Okay, there are only two ways. There is the narrow way, which is through Jesus Christ. Okay, what he did on the cross, and that's how we are saved. Then there's the broad way, which he draws the pen, which leads down to hell and to save. Some people try to trust their good works, and they fall short and they go to hell as well. Okay, so we have a choice to make. Okay, the choice is yours. Plan to give eternal life right now, life now, or receive Jesus Christ, your Savior, telling God something like this. Okay. So when you are getting close to the end, okay, you can then ask them a question. Okay, now ask one beautiful question. I think a good question, one that I learned from my dad, is that to ask people when you come right through the end of the presentation of the gospel is to say to them, now in light of everything that we have talked about here, if the Lord Jesus Christ is right here now, what would you ask him to do for you? Okay? And what that person, the primary focus probably of that person's life, the primary desire will probably come to the forefront. Okay, so this is a little bit different to the way actually Pop usually does it. But that's just, I think, is a good question, because sometimes what people come out with, their mind and their heart isn't really that exercised as the gospel be on something else. They say, I'll ask them to, help me get back with my missus, or the healing or something else. Where if you want to get saved, okay, there's one thing that you want, and it's salvation. You want forgiveness, you want to get saved, and money and whatever else, who cares? Or get saved. Okay? So then you can say, would you like to, and then so they say, I'll ask them to save you, or I'll ask them to forgive you. I'll ask them to be, take our sins away. A good question, a good answer like that. So, okay. Could you just quietly read this prayer here, look back there, and see if that prayer makes sense to you? So, if you can read that, not familiarise yourself with it. Okay, just look what happened when we finished. And then you ask, does this prayer, does this make sense to you? And yes. Do you believe, does this prayer, does this convey what you want God to do for you? Okay? And that's on there. That's a yes, it does. Okay? Right? Because you understand it, okay? Because it makes sense to you. And God is here, God is everywhere, but God is here. And would you like to tell this to God now? And ask Jesus Christ to do the same thing for you. Okay, so yes, okay. And then you can either, if you lead them through, you pray a section of the prayer, and say, okay, we can pray together, but you don't worry about me, okay? I'll lead you through the prayer, but you pray it to God, okay? So what's the Almighty God? He says, or she says, Almighty God, I have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. And you can go through the prayer like that. Okay? Sometimes, just depending on how you deliver the Spirit, sometimes you might just, once you have shared the gospel with someone and you think you have the right to sin and they're like, well, God's prayers are unreading, they may even just kneel down and pray that over. So what if you tell God what it is? Once they have conveyed it to you what they want the Lord to do, so what if you, in your own words, what do you do down here? Why do you call the Lord Jesus to be your Savior and you tell him exactly what you want him to do? Okay? That's a prayer that you may get that way as well. Okay, once you've been through now, once you have led them through that prayer, okay, then the matter of giving them assurance, okay, of salvation, this is. So this is a question. Then question one, did you call on Jesus Christ to save you from your sins? Yes, I did. Okay, were you honest as much as you believe you were? Okay, yes, okay. Question 2, Romans 10:13. What does God say you now ask? So Romans 10:13. But as many have received him, to them gave the power to become of the power to become the Son, become sons of God. Now, if you just called on Christ and say you're saved and received him, what does it say you are now? Sons of God, okay? Or if you're a lady, a daughter of God, you're a child of God. Question 3, what are you saved from? From my sins and from the lake of fire. Question 4, if you died now, where would you go? Go to heaven. Okay, why is that? Okay, because Jesus Christ has taken the punishment of my sins and I've trusted him as my personal saviour. Okay, question 5, now that you're saved, do you think it's possible to lose eternal life? Maybe I could lose it. Okay, let's go to 1 John 5:12 and 13. He that has the Son has life, he that has not the Son has not life, that you may know that you have eternal life. Okay, now question, do you have the Son? You just trust Christ as your Saviour, you receive your life. Yes. So what, you now have the Son? Okay? In certain words, Son. Okay, what do you now have? Life. Okay, those circle life. Okay, and it also says that you may know, step to the word know. Know that you have eternal life. Okay. Now, from the assurance, now what you can then go to a follow-up Bible study, because this is the next important thing to swallow up. Okay, so if you have been with the next time with the Lord, you've been saved, see you in heaven. Okay, and leave the baby Christian abandoned in the cold without anyone to guide them or to feed them. Okay, we don't do that with our biological children. Once the baby's born, it's exciting, and there's a lot of work and a lot of care that needs to go on. Okay, so that's what we're going to establish in the faith. Okay, so you can give them this. Okay, so this is a book which has different topics from the Bible. And open up on the first page there, you can see there's a table of contents. Okay? And then you can ask them to say, don't scare them and say this is a massive Bible college course the exams and study yourself out. So this has got some good Bible topics in it. Which of these topics interests you? Okay, we can have a look. Number 10. Okay, good. Yeah, no prayer. We'll just circle prayer. Okay, we're going to have to do it the other side. This is what we're doing with them, or whatever, or, how to be happy, or whatever it be. And then say, okay, would you think we'd be able to meet up over the next few days sometime to be able to have a look at them, to be able to go through them? Okay, sure. Alright, sure. Okay, I'll get your phone number. Okay, what is the address? Okay, and, whatever, work out the time to go and meet with them. And invite them to church as well. Okay? And then you can go and you can start having the first follow-up Bible study with Christmas. So you might look at the ones that they have. Certainly, okay, I'm going to go home and study them myself. And then go and take them and teach them. Okay? And show them that and to disciple them that way as well. Hope that helps. Yeah. So, I think it's a good presentation. Okay? It's quite thorough. We're trying to be led of the Lord, where is this person at? I think sometimes when someone starts to come under conviction of sin, okay, ultimately God knows the heart of someone, the person goes quiet, really very quiet. Remember, as I was at the church, there was a guy there who would have professed as a Christian. He was a bit of a frustrated as a person, actually, to be honest. But, for some reason, the Lord just had it one night at church that I just got to go and share the gospel with him. Just somehow the Lord just did that, just brought me to talk with him. So I sat down and chatted with him. My brother Jeremy was there, and we talked to him for a while as well. And I started going through the tract with him and going through the Ten Commandments, and he was answering the questions that I was giving him, and then he just all of a sudden started going quiet. As I was asking questions, I didn't force him to give me answers. And as the work of the law started to bring a conviction in his life. And so I talked with him. So forth, and then there was some discussion following, going through the track with him. My brother tried to try to understand how to trust. Anyway, so came before him to trust the Lord, and so he did, call on the Lord. Was our man, so he started, calling on the Lord in his own language. And, when someone gets saved, they still have some of their old traits, but he was different, this guy. He you can see the change in him after he got saved. So, that's really what moved him, when the Lord uses you to be able to lead someone to the Lord. Now, you won't always get it right, sorry. You'll make mistakes sometimes. You think, I should have said this, or why am I forget to say that? But don't give up, okay, because of that. No, we're not perfect, we aren't always going to get it right. And the challenge I would say for you is to take the church, you've got more than you trust the church, go and grab a few more, or if you want, take some now. Think of someone, family member, or friends, or even if you don't tell anyone, try to find someone to share the gospel with. Right? Even if you have to share the gospel with them and that person isn't quite ready to get saved, I don't believe one person has been pushing everyone through a prayer. Okay, we can see the wisdom of the Lord there. But to share it with someone, and so that they actually will be able to see the gospel, that's planting the seed. Okay, and that in itself is valuable, if you can just simply plant the seed in someone. So, try that, give that to them, say, ask them a question, okay, would you like to be sure? Okay, and you can, if you're on the spot, if that, you don't think you're going to make an appointment, even take them through a brief presentation. Just take it through. You'll see here that all of us are sin. We've all broken God's laws, the Ten Commandments, lying, stealing, whatever it be. Okay? God's punishment on sin is death. God doesn't want us to go to hell. That's why he sent Christ to take that punishment. You can take it through a quick presentation if you need to. But the best is if you can sit down with them and actually have them go through and be involved with it, asking them questions, right? Letting them give you answers, having a two-way dialogue and taking them right through. Any questions?
To note on the book, I've got two different versions here, so whether some people are missing, say, the table of contents you refer to.
Oh, is it?
So some stuff.
Is one a smooth cover down on paper?
Yes.
I'm not sure why. Is everyone got the table of contents? The chart, the table of contents? If you don't, feel free to swap it. Come on, Charles, I don't know why it would be.
I also have the ASF, Spiritual Growth, which is a very good discipleship course as well.
Sure.
So with all these things there, we're just putting various tools in your hands. But the ASF is also, I can provide that if you're leadership in that as well.
That's right. That's another thing as well, is you could say, you could just line him up with him or her up with Pastor Simeon, okay, for the A to Z class. That's another way you could do it.
Or they could do it, but just say, we've also got the A to Z course available for people to use.
Sure.
For their own.
That's right. So part to get the lesson off Pastor Simeon, meet up with him and go through A, assurance. Okay, and start getting through those lessons with him as well. So, can you imagine, how many people in this room? About 40? Okay, let's say there's 40 people in this room who could all share the gospel, and everybody just led one person across. 40 people. Can you imagine if you then went and led one more person across, and they all led one more person across, it's like 80 people. And if everyone goes and leads one more, you know what I mean? You can see how it can go more. How many here knows has an unsaved family member? Unsaved work colleague? Unsaved friend? There's someone you can share the gospel with. And you know what? You won't know unless you ask. They might say no, but how do you know they won't say yes? So try seek opportunities as well. God is going to bring you in touch with people in people's lives for a reason. Okay? Think about Philip, the Ethiopian eunuch, and God called him, the Ethiopian eunuch, and Philip the evangelist, God called Philip the evangelist all the way over to the Ethiopian eunuch, so that he could save. So, see opportunity, bring in the shops. Somewhere you call to someone something. Hand them a card, hand them a tract, challenge them. Any questions? No?
Just in practical purpose, guys, when you start sharing this with someone and they start. Obviously, examples we answered, the person always right, yes, yes. But when a person even just won't answer, or they're asking wrong answers.
Yeah, okay, so, I mean, if someone just will not answer you, that's probably that they obviously just don't want to be involved. Good question. So, what are they putting in the wrong answer? So, for example, they refuse to put their sin. You then have to try to help them to come to the right answer. Well, some they don't understand, okay? They don't necessarily understand. Don't be surprised when people don't always understand. They haven't been in church or, you know, don't know the gospel, you know, man beliefs and guardian angels and evolution and, you know, a whole conglomerate of things. So that's nothing. Don't be afraid to just go slowly with them. They don't have to rush through. Don't just assume that they're getting it all. But if they don't understand, you then just have to further explain, okay? Or try to deal with some bit of the policy help. Yes, is that what you the answer looking for? Yes. Yeah, so basically if they don't understand something, then you just have to try to explain it first. Okay? For example, if they don't believe in their sins. Okay? Or you know that then you need to show them or say, you know, well, everyone's told a lie, haven't they? We've all told lies. Okay? Or, you know, I think we've all put a little loss on, haven't we? Loss on something. You know, and help them to the right thing. One have an objection about hell. You know, that's how God would send us to help. We see God's love. God actually wants us to go there. That's why God has provided a way of escape for us. You know, so we don't have to do that. There's sometimes you might have to deal with a bit of apologetics as you go through. One of the good things is if you have their mind and their focus on the tracks, and you're asking the questions and keeping them involved, that's going to help you as well. Okay? So that they are focusing on what they're answering your questions, they're not taking control of the conversation.
I think you mentioned as well, but a lot depends on the context too. If someone's willing to sit down and go through with you, you're going to go through a lot more in detail.
Yes.
So maybe someone on the street, you sense they're kind of in a bit of a rush, and so you're going to just adapt and try and just probably give them a quick.
That's right. Given the summer version. Yes.
So just on that note, I've had people before who maybe will be fairly agreed to following along, but they just want to admit that they're skewed. They're just stubborn on that. Would you, in my mind, what I'll do then is I would skip that and try and keep going to get through the gospel.
Yeah.
Obviously knowing that that has to be dealt with, I think, that has to be dealt with before they can glorify the Lord. So it's possible for someone to be saved, admitting they're a sinner, but they don't admit that they've broken
a
particular one.
Well, the same government, I suppose, is highly unlikely that someone has stolen something in their life. But if they say, no, I absolutely haven't, or haven't stolen anything, and you say, maybe something small, whatever, well, you probably can't, I think what you're saying, keep going. I don't know what I have. Alright, and then keep going. So if it's a pride thing where they know they haven't, they just won't admit it, you know. God's going to convict them, you know, and whatever. You can try to help them to the right thing, but they're not going to do that. Well, there's not a lot you can do. Sorry?
I would just say at that point, I'll say, look, you know, let's just say that even, what you say is true, there's a couple of commandments here that you think you've kept. Pointing down to all of them have.
Yes, that's right.
You know, and not, that's where the James 1 says that, you know, if you bend one point, he will be a wall.
Yeah.
That's a good illustration. Then you said, when Moses came down from the mountain, people were sinning, he smashed the commandments. And in a sense, that's, you know, I use the illustration of God's law is like a mirror.
Yeah.
You take a hammer and hit a mirror as the whole thing shatters.
Yes.
So even if you have kept, you feel that you probably haven't kept that one, the point is we've broken God's overall standard and we sinned. So you can sometimes, and then just move.
Yeah, that's the illustration of mirror. Okay, so, you know, it's the fact is, and you can even say, you know, God can give us these, the reason we're sharing this, we don't go to him by keeping these. You know, the fact is, you know, the Lord is our school officer, the Lord is our schoolmaster to lead us from. The idea of the Lord is to show us our need. Okay, I'll use the illustration of the mirror there to say, when you go into your mirror in the morning, okay, you see, is that the representation of who you are? Now, we don't want to like what we see in the mirror. But he shows us who we are. When we look into the law of God, it doesn't show us what we would like to see, but it shows us that rather than being good people, we are sinners. Okay? Yeah.
How do you deal with people when you say you're a brat and talk about probably the most sense of my family?
Yeah.
So they're probably religious.
Yeah.
And they get defensive and almost angry.
Okay.
So if I'm giving them tracks and that's them in the home, like that, but they almost use it and almost become, not always, but become very defensive. I don't need that.
Mm.
I don't want to read that. I'm angry at them.
Yeah, that's right.
So how would I overcome that conversation with them?
Yeah, okay, well, I suppose if one of you hands a leaf and they might say, I don't want that, but what I think how something you could do as a family member is to go to them and say, you know that I love you, okay, you're my family member, you know you're my sister, you're my brother or whatever, and look, I just have a question for you, and ask them that question, so I'm not judging you, right? I'm not trying to judge you, but I just want to ask you this question because I care about you. If you don't know, would you be 100% sure you're in heaven? They say no, and say, yeah, so and so, would you like to be sure? And then you attract them and show them that they say yes. But think life for much more.
But
as soon as you're wrong.
But how do you keep going, or do you.
It's impossible to do this, right? Yeah. I think sometimes there are some people who just will not let you in.
Yeah.
And you won't be in unless you pass the fire. No. he's very, very skilled. That's another thing. If someone comes to God and says, if you can't lead someone to Christ, put in touch with someone who can. That's another thing as well. If you can't seem to get through someone, introduce them to someone else who might be able to help them.
Sometimes I think better, like, I'm just thinking my own family, if I'm trying to live there.
Yeah.
Like, if my family coming in, and because they see that I've left their position, you've left us,
yes.
We taught you what we need you to know, now you've left us, you've chosen another position. So I've explained that all to them over the years, but they just don't get it.
Yeah, that's right, because because religion and family is tied together, you get one, you get the other. So sometimes when pray, try, I think reach out to them as best you can love, and then sometimes people just want to let you in. But I think perhaps, though, I think if you can get to them, get to that matter of eternal security and salvation, you can point to that rather than getting on to, even in a sense, necessarily getting started to say, I don't think you will do this thing to a religious debate over Mary, whether we should worship Mary or not. It's trying to move to that, to their needs. Okay, so, alright. We're Catholics. Okay, I understand that. So, just a question for you. Would you be 100% sure if you don't know that you go to heaven? Oh, I don't think anyone can be. Well, the Bible says it can be, and I can show you. And then finally, for a certain point.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think, with all of this, ultimately looking to the Lord to open the heart of the sinner to the gospel. And I think it's just been pointed out that in a sense, you can't force an opportunity. We do everything we can on our part as a soul in it, but ultimately, if someone just won't listen and won't let you, you have to just leave that in the Lord's hands.
Okay.
That's why Paul said in Colossians 4, he said, pray for a door of utterance. So there is a prayer aspect here. Prayer opens those doors.
Yeah.
And this is one thing that's really struck me, is just, in order for there to actually be an opportunity to present the gospel, God has to do a work. Okay? The door of utterance has to be open. Just not even if the person gets saved in that moment of time right there, but just an opportunity to present Christ to someone involves the Lord opening that door. So if it comes to the very sudden family members or whatever, you have to make those attempts as you're able, but then you just have to just take it to prayer and ask the Lord to really just do a work to open those doors. You can't force someone to listen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think I'm surprised at the anger. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because
it's just, I don't know, it's like we've been speaking about God's things, for example, security. I just get all defensive and angry.
Yeah.
I think it surprised me how much anger came out. It's frightened me a little bit, to be honest.
Yeah, that's right, because they take it personally, and it's now light and darkness,
yeah.
And the two don't have it together, And so, yeah, it's, and your experience there, that's the experience of thousands. But, yeah. A friend of mine who's married on Catholic, but his brothers walked up his back and tried to drag him out. So that's persecution. That what you're suffering, that's a lot of people, not the minimum, have gone through that so many. Also even the Lord, it's over everything to believe in. But
I think as you said as well, Vicky, sometimes it is because of that close family connection, they take it more personally. And sometimes, as Pastor Ben mentioned, sometimes praying for maybe a non-family member to have an opportunity to use them. So the case in point would be Sister Karen and her mother. She's been sharing the gospel with her mum for 4 years. That's just my daughter.
Yes.
But when we were at Victor Harbour, I went and saw her, and just a different person, non-family member, and even just a different gift or different personality, the Lord can sometimes use that. Mm-hmm. Went through the gospel with her and it seemed that she called the Lord. So,
I recognise that too.
Yeah.
That for me, it's just it's religious.
Mm.
But I take it seriously.
Mm.
Yeah.
I think George has his hand up as well.
I already asked the question.
Just a question, just a clarification, because this isn't probably the wisdom of the Lord. See how it's got question one under all of sin. It says, do you want the God of the Bible to be your God?
Mm-hmm.
If they say, no, I'm not too sure, then what would your advice be there?
Because
obviously they might just say, yeah, I'm a sinner. Or, yeah, you know what, that's me. But I'm not really ready yet.
So some of these questions I think that the Brother Popper has in here is to try to help the person to make the right decision at the end, to trust the Lord. So you might try to deal with that issue in brief, but perhaps we'll keep going with the gospel though, so they can get the entire picture still. Try to deal with it. Why is that? Oh, well, because so many little children die or whatever. So plus point is we've got a section of this. Well, this is the answer for common objections that you're meeting solely. So different common things that people throw up. Which if you study those, you might be able to deal with some of those things or try to. But then, once trying to deal with it, then try and get back to the gospel. Don't just sort of leave it there and say, okay, no worries, we'll see you later. If possible, try and get through the gospel, I think.
Yeah, sometimes during witnessing at work, questions will come up.
Mm-hmm.
And I sort of analysed it in the back, and I remember at the beginning you said, when you're soul winning, you think about it, I should have said this, or I should have done that. What I realise is that some of the rabbits that come up are the ones that you say, look, that's a good question, we'll notate that, and we'll get back to it, and we just... That's another one.
Yeah, that's right. Good objection. So we can deal with that later. But this will make more sense if we can go through the whole thing. You need to understand the salvation. It's going to help you to understand the whole picture. So, yeah.
Sorry, you're drunk. We're out of time.
Okay.
We're going to go for morning tea. Yeah, just one final thought. Just tying into that, we need to see ourselves very much as sowers. We do get the privilege of reaping, and we do hope and pray for that. But if we go out of the mindset that we're going to risk every time and every individual with the first presentation, we'll be discouraged. So I think the goal with this is not to just push someone through a prayer in the end, if they're still ready, but to see ourselves, and that's where you might have all sorts of objections, but if we can even just sow a seed, all we can use.
That's all good. Encourage that anyway to use it, or to write a presentation of the gospel, and to start sharing the gospel with people. Whether it be on the street, or family members, or friends, or work colleagues, or whatever, try to make an appointment, and then take them through. Some of you might be doing some projects to connect to the gospel. Don't get rid of your track and draw all over, because that's going to be what you go back to jog your memory about what to do. And also, it's in this establishing of faith, lesson 44, page 57, okay? You need to go back to the refresh as well. Let's pray, Joe. Father, we thank you for the blessing of this time, Lord. We have shared the gospel with us, help us all to become soul winners with you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we'll go for a short break, have some morning tea, about 15 minutes, and then be back by about 4:15, 20 past the latest.